apologize because I'm not prepared. But when I got back from vacation, I planned on doing a little more studying and stuff like that. But then I got the stomach flu, and so I kind of cut down on some of my time. So my notes are just a little hard to read. So bear with me. Today we are going to go to the epistle of 1 John. I think that's a good thing to start continuing on. I just have this desire to know a little bit who he is and what he stands for and everything. Let's just start in prayer, actually. There. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you again for your word and your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for preparing our hearts for today, and that your word would indwell in us and change us to be more like your Son, Jesus. I pray for wisdom and pray for the hearts here that, again, you'd be glorified in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you'd like to stand, we're just going to go through 1 John, the first chapter here. Before we do read this, I just had a question for you. What is your attitude towards sin? What does sin mean to you? Do you confess your sin? So that's just kind of the background of today's message here. As we just read first chapter here, it says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifest, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to give us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." So, John, as we kind of discussed before from the Gospel of John, he is, I don't know if I mentioned it, but he's a sectarian. He got in trouble for reprimanded for one of the only words they really recorded that he said, is that man was doing things, you know, casting out demons and stuff, but he wasn't part of our group. So he was kind of a somebody who kind of belonged to a sect. So Jesus reprimanded him. He said, and basically said that no, it's everybody that believes in Jesus. It doesn't matter if they're part of our church or somebody else's church and that. And today we kind of live in that society. I mean, I don't know how many people you talk to about how my church does this, my church does that. It kind of creeps into how we even say things. This is what we do. This is how I do. John's kind of, from that perspective, is now protecting the church. Now, this is probably around 90 to 95 A.D. is when he wrote this. So he was older. He was well matured on there, and he's protecting the church. And at that time, the reason why they believe that he wrote this at this time is because there was a group of people called the Gnostics who believed certain things, and that belief was infiltrating the church. And the Gnostics believed kind of some odd things. One, they didn't believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. They also believed that physical things were evil. Okay? Spiritual things were good, physical things were evil. Therefore, Christ couldn't have come in the flesh. Okay? They also believed that God couldn't have created the physical world because it was evil. And so an outside force of God would have created it. So those things were kind of infiltrating the church. And if you know anything about some of the religions today, those things are still today present today, those beliefs on there. So John, there again, is black and white. He just comes out and says it. He says, this is what it is. And he goes into those if statements on there. But the things that he is certain of is, one, he was with Jesus. He's certain. He saw him. He's certain he heard him. And he touched him. And touching him was even after the resurrection. Up in the upper room when Jesus revealed him, he was able to touch Jesus Christ. So there was a physical aspect to it on there. So he was very certain of those things there. There's also a certainty within the theme of this letter. There is the certainty of salvation. Okay? So you can go through the whole gospel or the epistle here of John and come out with the certainty that you are saved. I mean, he puts it black and white. This is, if you're saved, this is how what's going to be. If you're not saved, this is how you're going to be. It's a black and white type of thing. And then there's also the certainty of the benefits that you have in Christ in this, these letters too. So it's interesting they even call this a letter, because I don't know how you write letters, but when you start out with the letter, don't you say to who it's from or to its to? Right? You go, dear so-and-so. He doesn't do that. I don't know what your version starts out with. Mine starts out with what? Some versions start out with the word that. Okay? Which means that John isn't necessarily concerned about what Jesus did, but who Jesus is. Okay? So this is more of a letter that kind of points out theology proper in the sense of who God is. And you can see that theme in his gospel too. The Gospel of John, if you read the Gospel of John, John is more concerned about who Christ is. Now you can see a lot of things of what Christ has done, but he's more concerned about who Christ is because he uses these I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am. Proving that Jesus is God. Okay? God incarnate. It's who he is. And that's kind of the theme of not only the Gospel of John, but here in his letters as well. It's who is God. And the understanding of who God is gives you a better perspective. Salvation, grace, and your sin on there. And it's interesting, in this chapter that we just read, the 10 verses that we read, did you hear the gospel? It's the gospel message. Okay? He proclaims it. He says who Jesus is here. He says who God is. And then he says, this is if you have life, this is what's going to be. So he gives these if-then statements on there. And those that you like math, I like math too, there's a lot of if-then statements here. Okay? So even in the Gospel of John, there's if-then statements, theories, so it kind of works out good. I like the way he writes on there. So, if I say to you, God is spirit, you can kind of understand that, right? He's invisible. He's not physical. Okay? If I say to you, like it says in John here, later on it says God is love, you get that. You understand what love is. You know what God is love on there. If I say God is eternal, you understand that God is eternal. So it's those are comprehensible things in there. But what if I say is God is light, what does that mean? How do you define God as light? So bear with me. I'm going to go through a long thing here on what God this means. Now, for example, we have images in the Old Testament, like when Moses was stuck in the cleft, if you remember in Exodus, and he wanted to see God, but God says that nobody can see me and live. So he sticks Moses in the cleft, and he gets to see the hindsight out of him. And it was this Shekinah glory, this glowing brightness of God that was so bright that when Moses came off the mountain, he had to veil himself. He was so bright. So this light was emanating from just Moses, just from the light of God. Okay? And it also talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Talks about how Moses was a light, that he had to veil himself. Okay, so the Old and New Testament says that God is light on there. 1 Timothy 6:15. Let's see. Got here. First Timothy 6:15-16 says, which he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed and the only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. Okay, so this light is so bright, it's unapproachable. Whom no man has seen or can see. Okay? So it's so bright that you just can't be in that presence. It's just this illumination that is so bright. So that's an example there in the New Testament, that brightness of that light. Let's see. Then we have Psalm 104. Psalm 104, 1 through 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a cloak. Okay, so there again, the image of God here is this bright light in there. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. God not only light himself, but he's the source of light, which is important. It's not even light. And it's not that he's a light and he's not the light, but it says God is light. Right there. Okay. So he manifests himself in light, and he's my light. But what does that mean? What does that light mean? So we learn a little bit more about who God's light is when we think about who Jesus is, right? So let's look at Jesus. So God is light, and he conveys that light to us. Jesus is that very light of God incarnate. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Okay. And then so the light is essentially God in the image of Christ. So we're getting that God is light. He conveys that light through Jesus Christ. He conveys that glory of Christ in the gospel. God is light. Jesus is light. Colossians chapter 1. Where are we? 11. Colossians. Bearing with me here. Colossians Colossians chapter 1, 12 to 13 says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." Says, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both and in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, authorities of all things have been created through him." But there again, it is the kingdom of his beloved Son that is the domain of light. Okay, so not only is God is light, Christ is light, but that domain of light is Christ's kingdom. Right? Light comes to us through the Son. We enter the kingdom of light through the Son, who provides redemption, forgiveness of sin. So God is light, Jesus is light, and because he is the very image of God. Philippians 2:15 says, "So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as light in the world." Okay? So we appear in the world as light. Haven't gotten the definition of light yet. This is just kind of going on what the scripture's talking about, light. Okay? 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Okay? So, you're called, you're part of this light, you're sharing in this light. And in Matthew 5:14, he basically says, "You are the light of the world." Okay? God is light, Jesus is light, and we who come to Christ share this light to the world. Are you following me so far? Okay. But what is light? What is light? It's a great image, and there's a lot of facets to it, but what is it? So, I think the key verse that we'll go to is in Psalm 36:9, which really kind of opens it up and connects the dots here. 36:9. Is that Psalm? 36:9. Okay. So what it says here in Psalm 36:9 says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." Okay? Now what this is a Hebrew parallelism. It's an emphasis. It's like two phrases that mean the same. Okay? So think about that. "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." This is that connecting verse that defines what light is. Light is life.
Life is light.
Life. Okay? So light is life. Life is light. Okay? it equals life to light. It is only because of God, that we have life. It is only because of his light we see light. Life and light are linked right here in Psalm 36. Okay? So God is light in the sense that God is life. Okay? As light emanates from the source, life also emanates from the source. Right? So God is light. God is life. Light comes from God. Life comes from God. So if you turn just to the Gospel of John, in the first chapter there, again, one of my favorite chapters. Okay. He goes and he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Okay, so God is the source. He's talking about creation here. Jesus was with them, so Jesus is God. Nothing came into existence. Nothing came into existence without God, okay, or Christ. Yep. Okay. So this is it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay. So here again, talking about the physical aspect, that all life originates from God. There's nothing that is alive that did not live without the existence of God. Nothing would exist. Okay? Not only does life come from God in Christ, okay, but there again, nothing would exist without Him. Okay? So all life, physical life, is there. But not only is it physical life, but the spiritual life as well. So every human being, every animal, every plant has life because God created it. He created it ex nihilo, which is out of nothing. Because God is eternal, He created everything out of nothing, and then it existed because He's. So He is the origin. He's where life came from. The eternal Word, the one who created everything, made everything. Apart from Him, nothing would be into being. He is the source of life. Whoever is created, whoever is the creator of life. And if you continue to read, it even talks about who John the Baptist, came to give witness to the light. Because he wasn't the light, he gave witness to it. So John wasn't the creator, but he was pointing to Christ as the light. Okay? Continued right there. So it's true physically, it's true spiritually. He gives it spiritually through the new creation and the new birth. If you continue to read on in John chapter 2 and 3, you get that where he even talks to Nicodemus. You know the story of Nicodemus. You must be born again before you can even see the kingdom of God. Okay, that's the new birth, the new born. It's still talking about the source of life on there. To eternal life. Possessed by God and Jesus by the Holy Spirit, or the Trinity, eternal life. He is the source of eternal life. So both temporal life, both eternal life, God's the source of it. Right there. Everything that lives gets its life from the source, who is God. Colossians 1, 16-17. Seven. 16 through 17 says, "For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." So not only is He the creator, the origin of life, He sustains those lives as well. Okay. So this is who God is. Okay. This is who Jesus is. Holy Spirit is the Trinity. This is God. This is Him. He's the source of all life on there. Our eternal life comes from God through His Son by the Gospel. So, going back to light is life. God is light means God is the source of life and all life. And if you, even as I say, you read chapter John, if you continue to read the Gospel of John, it talks even more about the light and that new birth and the command that everybody needs that new life. Okay? You have to be born again. You have to have a new life on there. Because that life is eternal out there. If you go back to, let's see here. John chapter 8, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay? There again, Jesus is the source of life. He is life because God is. Okay? He not only is life, he gives life. Okay? Because he's the source of life, he can give it. God is the light who gives to us the light through the Son, who is that light. And then in John 12:46, it says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Okay? He didn't come to bring just information. He came to bring life and life eternal. Sometimes when we think of light, we think of illumination, we think of knowledge on there. But it's the life. He's the source. He's light. He's life. And there. When you receive Jesus, you don't just receive information. You receive eternal life. You don't just get illumination. You get eternal life. He even mentions it in verse 50, eternal life. Light equals eternal life. So now, if you go back to John, 1 John, verse 5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is light. Okay? Does that change the meaning here? Is it starting to pick up and mean? Light, life. He's the source. This is where life comes from. It's eternal. He's the source. God is light. Doesn't mean that God just gives you information. It means that God is life. He is the source of all life. Okay? Especially for the gospel. Eternal life for all who believe. God's life, there is no darkness. Okay? So he's light, but there's no darkness. Well, what does it mean that there's no darkness? What does darkness represent? Well, there's no death. There's no dying. There's no deception. There's no lying. Okay? This source of light, life, is pure. It's eternal. Okay? So there is no darkness in him. God can't lie. He doesn't tempt you, as James says. There's no evil in him. Okay? This life, God, this life that you receive through the gospel, through Jesus Christ, is part of you. There's no darkness, there's no life. So when you understand the source, you understand who God is, where it is coming from, we are like Christ. We are like God. We live eternally. Okay? When you have eternal life, there is no death, there's darkness. So there's that. Just kind of keep that in mind here. Then the question is, who possesses it? Who has the right to say, I have eternal life? And that's what John is saying here. Okay? How can we be sure that we have this life? Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And then verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So it's black and white. It's the if-then statements. Okay? It's like a test. It's a test to examine yourself. Now, John is writing this to the church, to believers. Okay? Talks about children and the fathers and stuff like that. So he addresses them later on in the letter on there. But it's to the church, to the believers that is being polluted by lies and deception in there. So he said, this is the test. Okay? But it's also to examine yourself. Okay? And then John gives just these contrasts, and it expounds even more in the letters. But he's talking about who possesses it, who possesses this life, and who doesn't. Okay? Chapters 2, verses 9 through 10, which is, you know, probably going to have to turn to Jez. It says, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. You know, it's amazing. Oh, I just kind of side note here. I'm going late here, but we traveled and we met some cousins, my mom's cousins in Oklahoma. But it's an amazing thing when you experience somebody who else knows the Lord. And how, yeah, we're family, blood related, but then there's a step up of like, when we can talk about the Lord, the countenance changes. It's just this whole thing of like joy that's inexpressible. So I met her brother. She's going to be 88 this December. She still teaches a woman's study at her church. We met her pastor, went to her church and stuff. It's great. Went to her brother's house, who's 80, and he's still in a Presbyterian church, and he's doing a Bible study. It was wonderful, just a great time. 4 hours later, we go to my dad, blood relative, who doesn't have the light. I love my dad, but there's not that joy of knowing the Lord. As we were traveling, I felt that joy. I know that you guys were praying for us and how God anointed just everything that we were doing because of your prayers and how we would even think of our fellowship during our trip and just there's joy. Okay? I love you guys. Amen. And that's not from my natural sense. That comes from the source. chapter 5 in the same book, verses 11 through 12 says, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and that life, this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Okay? So, the source is God. God is the light. That's the source of light. Life. It's knowing where that source came from, who you are. Okay, so, and I know I'm running out of time here, but, and then John gives these list of contrasts on here. But back to verse John there. John affirms the reality of the incarnation. He's an eyewitness. His hands touch him. He heard Jesus himself. And then the message was, that's his message. This is the message, verse 5. So he's the testimony. He's proclaiming the gospel. This is the message. We have heard from him. This is he heard from Jesus and announces to you, God is light. That's the message. God is light. Well, don't you want to know what light is? Light is life. He's the source of light. He's the source of life. Okay? That source. And that life he is giving to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. God has given that life through His Son. Then the question is, how do we know we have this light? How do we know that we have this life, this eternal life of God?
Okay?
John puts it black and white. Who can make the claim and who can't? Who has the right to say, I have this life, I know this light? John is trying to protect the church from false teachers again. Liars, deceivers, false prophets. John has passion for the truth. You can just read it through him. He's just like, truth, truth. He knows the truth. He knows the person of truth. He knows Jesus Christ. And he wants to expose liars. Right? It's kind of hard to do today without being stepped on. But there are a lot of liars out there. Who is really in the fellowship? Who is not in the fellowship? False teachers claim to know the truth. They claim to have the life of God. They claim to know the light. They claim to have eternal life. And the first test John gives to determine if someone is in light, who possesses it, is their attitude towards sin. You can't have eternal life if you deny sin. What is your attitude towards sin? If you understand light, no darkness, who God is, it's like the closer you get to God, the more you know about Him, the more wretched you are, like Paul says. I'm the chief of sinners. People who confess their sin possess eternal life. Do you confess your sin? Okay. I think about Martin Luther. Martin Luther, when he was in his monastery, he would go and confess his sins so long that the padres, the fathers, would get so frustrated with him. He said, just come back where you have a real sin to confess. Okay. He was so tormented by his conscience of every little thing, every little thought, that he confessed it and confessed it. And the reason I point that out is that he changed history. If more people confessed their sin and had a conscience that wasn't so seared with what this world has, and I include myself in that, if we confessed our sins more and more and more, that the things that bothered us, He is faithful to cleanse us of those sins. He places Christ's righteousness onto us. We can come before Him. How do we handle our sin? It says, how do you have the gospel without sin? John is telling you this because he heard it from Jesus. Okay? It's not just John's opinion. He was there. This is what Jesus said. So when you read the Bible and you look at passages that include light, you'll often find things that are associated with two things: truth and virtue. Okay? Because of time, I won't go into some of the scripture, but you can go and you can look it up. But it's a lot of times it's truth and virtue. The light of light, when it comes to light, it's truth and virtue. You can't have the gospel without truth. You can't live a life without virtue. Okay, your morals. Okay, what are the things that bother you? If things aren't bothering you, so that confession of sin. Even Psalm 6:23 says, "The word is a lamp to my feet and the light to my path." It's talking about knowledge and stuff. Okay, we read scripture to learn who God is and what things are on there. But it's not just what we put in our head; it's how we, and it talks about how we walk. Okay? How we walk in the light. And it's not a standing still. It's a progression. It's a walking. Lord willing, maybe next time I'll talk about walking in this light on there. Truth is light. And it's light to our otherwise darkened mind on there. Ephesians 5:8 says, "You were formerly darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in the goodness and righteousness of truth." Okay, so that combines both of them. Okay. But the source of your life is that light, that God is light. Okay? Remember that. Remember whose you are. Right? Okay. Right there. The participating in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, for they are exposed to the light. Okay, you have arisen from the dead, and Christ ascending, you are because of your living. You are living as light. God is light. That is life. You live in a life that is. You seek truthfulness. You seek righteousness, truthfulness, holiness. You are devoted to the truth. You are devoted to righteousness. New life is not devoid of truth and righteousness. In God, there's no deceit. There's no darkness. There's no life. There's no sin. He's perfect. He's holy. And that His life that He gives to you through Jesus Christ is perfect. Okay? You have that perfect life of Christ's righteousness imputed to you that He gives to you when you believe in Him. It's perfect. There's no darkness. There's no death. There's no deceit. There's no that. Now, will we fall short? We are fallen. But our devotion to truth and holiness, and our devotion to loving one another, and our devotion not to walk in darkness, and not to deceive, and not to lie, or not to steal, and not to sin. We don't want to sin. It should bother us when we sin. If it doesn't bother you when you sin, either you don't know what sin is, or you're so afar from that light, you've seared your conscience, you need to get on your knees. Something should bother you on there. That is what we see. It says, it's not what you say. It's not what you claim. It's what we see. How are people's eyes on you? What are people seeing when they see you? What are people saying behind your back? The truth and virtue, and it starts here. If you say you have the life of God, but you don't have the same attitude towards sin, if you don't hate sin, you're a liar. You don't have life. One of the reasons we come to the Lord's table here is to confess our sins. If you are reluctant to do that, you don't have the same attitude that God has towards sin. If you're a true believer, you're going to see sin like God sees sin. And you're eagerly going to confess your sins. He's right there. You can confess them. And He is faithful to forgive them. It's one thing to confess them. It's one thing to believe it. Confess your sin, agree with God, and God will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen? So this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. My pleasure, but that was a hard one for me.